commodity broker Larry Olson, Ag Resources, LLC, joins us for the weekly ag market recap. Larry's filling in for Gordy. Larry, thinking about the grains this last week, boy, we had a fair amount of price action up and down.
Huge swings in the marketplace this day, and we find out that this week we are under the influence of inflation. Inflation now is now coming in at 6.2%. That's the highest inflation rate we've had in 31 years. The grain now is up, corn about up 7 cents. The soybeans are up about 22, 21 cents, and the wheat's up about 4 to 5 cents. The history has proven that the inflation now has affected the grain markets. It has rallied the grain markets up, but we also keep in mind that the inflation also affects the production. So the production prices also increase, and we've seen in the past that the grain prices can decline faster than the production prices. So that was what causes a concern in the marketplace. A comment about what inflation is transferred into interest rate increases. And we put that in terms of the U.S. debt, Jerry. We see that for every 1% increase of interest rates, it costs $300 billion on the U.S. debt. So that transfers into a very significant amount of money. That's why we're so concerned about inflation today.
You mentioned, Larry, that corn was up about 7 cents on the week, beans up about 22 cents. And given that we had that USDA report on Tuesday and all of the narrative from the traders was it was going to be wildly bearish, maybe then from the technical side, it wasn't too bad for the week.
You know, overall, the market has held itself together. We look at the factors that influence our prices, Jerry, and we have to refer back to the three major sectors. One is the fundamental, the second is the technical side, and the third is the speculation side. Of course, the fundamental are the weather, the supply demand, the inventories after harvest, interest rates, and many others. The technical side is the daily and weekly price charts. Supposedly, you look at the support and resistance. We look at some double tops and bottoms, those type of things, plus others. And, of course, the speculation is from traders in the marketplace. One is the managed money called the fund monies. So if we look at the weather pattern this past summer, we all in Minnesota know we've been under some very serious drought conditions, but we certainly tested the genetics of the corn plant this year because of the dryness, and it is amazing how the corn had pulled out of it, including the beans. The USDA suggests we're going to have an average of 177 bushels. The previous high was 176.6 bushels per acre back in 2017, so this looks as though that they can exceed that previous high. Minnesota came in at 186 bushels per acre, and that's in a drought year. That's down a little bit. They normally come in close to Nebraska, and Nebraska came in at 191 bushels per acre.
The fund stayed pretty long this week, and maybe that's what kind of helped us, at least long the corn?
I think it certainly has helped, no doubt. The funds are part of the speculation segment of the marketplace, and they are the big traders, the billion-dollar boys that are in there. And the funds, indeed, they're holding a 316,000 contracts. The beans are now at 19,000 contracts. They were neutral, and then they stepped back in and started buying beans. That certainly supported the beans. Meal, now they're basically neutral. They were short for quite a while, quite a few weeks, as a matter of fact. And oil is long 82,000 contracts. Wheat, now they stepped back in and they bought wheat. They're long at 16,600. We also can look at the export sales, Jerry. That's a contributing factor. Corn is at 42 million bushels, but that's a bit below last week at 48 million bushels. Soybean export sales at 47 million bushels, so that's below last week at 68 million bushels.
But you have to look sometimes more at just the total number of bushels. You have to look who's buying it. One that seems a little bit more absent is China.
They are a little bit absent. That's an excellent point, Jerry. They are last year and years prior to, China stepped in and bought a lot of corn as well as soybeans. Not so much this year. In fact, As of November 4th, China has reported purchasing 34 million bushels of soybeans, which sounds pretty decent. But then you have to look closer to find out that 21 million of those bushels were purchased earlier, and they combined into that 34. So they still are not a big purchaser of soybeans and corn. They're almost non-existent in the corn market. I do want to make a comment about the technical side too, Terry. Right now the corn resistance is at $5.86. The support on December corn is $5.48, and the December now closed out at 5.77¼¢. So they're right in the middle, or close to it. The soybeans, the resistance is $12.66. The support is $11.81. January soybeans, $12.44¼. So they're right in that range also. Now, the cash side, Jerry, the basis on the cash is very strong. It's unusual we see this strong a basis this close to harvest. Granted, we're just a little bit past, but that basis is very, very strong. The premiums on the cash is paid up front, and we can see that by looking at the March, May, and July contracts. The March contract is 585, the May contract is 588, and the July is at 588. So the market is saying that they're not willing to pay the premiums on the deferred months. They're paying the premiums up front, and part of that is a strong basis. So if one wants to look at that, it may be of interest to look at where that basis is in your local area, Jerry.
But it's been my experience that can disappear in a hurry if all at once corn or beans start to move. If they move a fair amount in a hurry, that basis can disappear, that strong basis, in a heartbeat.
Well, that's exactly correct, Jerry. That's a good point, and that is when the buyers buy all they need or want for a time slot, they're not going to pay premium for it. So they don't have to stay there. They're buying for a time of delivery. We don't know what that is. It might be for November, December, or maybe December, January, or whatever. But when they get their slots filled, they can drop that basis out very, very quickly. So it's the basis is a temporary incentive at this current time.
Looking over at the livestock, some action there this last week, but not quite the volatility that we saw in the grains.
No, that's very true. It's been very consistent, very quiet in the live cattle market. The live cattle December is at 132.12, and that's pretty close to what the cash is and has been. They're at 130 to 132. Now, looking a little closer at the wholesale market, coming from the boxed beef prices, the boxed beef prices is the price going into the retail market, but they've not changed much. They might be up 50 cents to a dollar, and then they might be down 50 cents to a dollar. So the wholesale price doesn't change much, but the retail price is up sharply, and that's a function of the inflation we've talked about. Transportation costs have gone up, electrical costs have gone up, and there's also a strong demand for beef too. So the retail prices is accelerated over the wholesale price. Lean hogs also, they are under pressure on the cash market. A lot of hogs coming into the processing. And the export sales actually have decreased, and that did not help the lean hog prices. And the export shipments actually got shipped out has also decreased. The current is up 1.53 million metric tons, and that's below last year at this time at 1.59 million metric tons.
Commodity broker Larry Olson, AgriSources, LLC.